you for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
when you are evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm going to read that one more time. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, now listen to this. On the day of judgment, people, including you and me, will give account for every careless word they speak. What? Oh, that again. I tell you the truth. On the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your word, you will be justified, and by your word, you will be condemned. Now, let's start with a very simple truth. A tree is known by the fruit. Or, Robin's dad had this ability growing up in the mountains of North Carolina. He could go by and say, that's a father, that's this, and he could just look at it and he knew by the leaves and whatever. But what comes from the inside of that tree proves what it is. And this time he's talking about a fruit tree. The fruit will reveal what the truth is. It'll actually reveal whether that tree is healthy or not. It will be everything about the inside of that tree will be revealed in the fruit. Likewise, our words reveal the true condition of our soul. Now, whether we like that concept or not, it is true. What comes out of my mouth is going to tell you what's in my heart. It's going to reveal whether the work done in the Spirit, when I became born again, the Holy Spirit moved inside of me and made me a new creation, whether it is transforming my mind, my emotions, or my will, or I'm just living life any way I want to live it, it's always going to be revealed by my words. The Holy Spirit is going to make you continuously accountable. But I don't think this little angel that they're writing down every word I'm saying. I'm not saying that. But I am responsible to know truth. I am responsible to live out of the will of God. God will hold me accountable for every word and every action that comes from my life. Every careless word. Now, study show, and I said this last week, 80% of what we do is subconscious. That means that 80% of what comes out of your mouth is unguarded. It just comes out in a moment of unguarded. Most times when I'm really trying to say the right thing and say it just right, but I'm going to tell you, on an everyday life, I'm going to know what your heart is like by what comes out of your mind. It is not mouth. It is the canary in the mind. So if you know the true source of your life, I just listen. It's going to reveal two things. It's going to reveal whether you're operating on the truth and grace of Christ, whether the whole fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace is at work in your life, or you have a heart consumed with yourself, a heart consumed with your flesh and the world, and which runs counter. Jesus said very clearly, you brood of vipers. Basically, he's saying what comes out of your mouth is going to reveal which spirit you're living out of. Now, you can get a superior, but it's still a failure. What am I saying? You can do all you can do, but I'm going to tell you, the reality is, if I take enough time to listen to you, I'm going to know whether I'm dealing with the Holy Spirit or a spirit trying to dress up to look like the Holy Spirit. There is a distinct difference. Now, what is the difference? The Bible says I'm supposed to bridle my tongue, a tight rein on my tongue. What's going to happen? I'm not going to have a life saturated with the Spirit of Truth. And the only way I can have a life saturated with the Spirit of Truth is this has to form the basis of my thinking. First of all, I want to just give you information. I don't want to get up in your business. This right here is to form the basis of my thinking. It cannot form the basis of my thinking in a 15-minute devotional every morning. It cannot form the basis of my thinking as I read it right before I go to bed. Now, I don't know if any of you have this thing where you say, I'm going to read my Bible, and you read it in the prone position, and you last about 5 minutes before you fall asleep. Because what's happening is you're trying to read the Bible with no time, with no energy, and thinking that somehow, by looking at a book that you've taken no time and no energy with, that it's going to be transforming your life. And it won't. This has to form the basis of your thinking. And if it forms the basis of your thinking, that'll form the basis of your speaking. So I'm going to know by listening to you whether this is the forming the basis of your thinking because it's forming the basis of your speaking, or you're speaking out of something that you've made up. I don't know people say my Bible says. Well, there's only one Bible. And you know, you can make up what it says. And so this is a very important understanding that we've got to consider here. But the idea is this, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Every word that comes out of your mouth has a life-affecting impact. So many useful words. Every word I say is either building up a relationship or is just tearing one down. There is no middle ground. If I am in a relationship with you, every word is going to build something. Now, along the way, I may say something nice to you, but along the way, as time goes on, I'm going to ask you to think, are most of the words that come out of your mouth critical and negative? So I'm in a group of people. And with talking positive. Someone can sit in that group and start spouting off negativity, and in a matter of time, all five of us will become negative. Got to get a witness? Certainly, some of the man, mortal life's going really good. It's really been, God's been working. And someone will say, yeah, but you know, that praise thing. You know why we would be so much better if they would just do something with that DJ guy. You know, we've been talking about that same thing too. And the next thing you know, you're off to the races, and you almost hear the Holy Spirit say, pardon me, what's going on in your heart? Now, if you come in here with a checklist, you're going to find something you don't like. Probably the guy that's standing here right now. There's going to be something about this church that's not perfect. Let me inform you something. Now, I know this is profound, but you know there's something about your spouse that is not perfect? Do we need to have an altar time right now just to deal with that? Do you know there's something about him that drives you absolutely out of your mind? Robin and I have been married for 44 years. She needs a medal. There are things that Robin does that slightly irritate me. And you know, the next thing you know, that all you're doing now is just sharing your frustration, and nothing is being built. My mouth is a source of great peace or a source of great trouble. It's a source of great love or it's a source of the other. I am either going to be seeking the fruit of the Spirit in your life or I'm going to be lifting myself up at your expense. It reveals what's in my heart. Now, some of us are really good at matching it. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says we can love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and with the love of our neighbors ourselves. Our words reveal whether this is true in our lives, or if I'm operating out of my own. Now, I really don't want to pick on what you say because I'm just as bad as anybody. As I put this message together, I felt out. I don't want to say that because ultimately, as I put this message together, I realized I got a problem with my tongue. Now, look at me like this. All of us know that if there's one area that we have not really done well with, it's what comes out of our mouth. Here's what I want to say, and then we're going to go to the others. Before you say something, know it's true. What if Sherry does something to really irritate you? Now, what will happen is I won't say anything to him at the time. I'll just let it go. But along the way, I'll then begin to say, well, I know why he did that. And so he did that because this is, I'm not saying no. I'm attaching motive to him and speaking. I'm talking to Dale over here and I'm saying, you ever notice that Terry does this? And Dale's like, yeah, I noticed that too. You think that's because of this? Oh, yeah, I do. I think so. Next thing you know, we pulled somebody else and it's getting into it. I said, Dale, have you ever noticed that? I mean, Terry does this. Yeah, next thing we're going, a band of three that's decided that that really irritates me and we know exactly why he does it. He may have just had a bad day that day. But the next thing I know, I'm exalting myself by tearing him down. That's what we do with our tongue. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because when we get to the third chapter, it's going to get a lot more intense than this, so I'm going to wait for that. But let me just say something very important. You know the difference between giving your opinion and knowing what the truth of God is? Someone will come up and say, well, James, I believe this and this and this. Be careful. Just be careful. You are not the fount of all knowledge. Guard your tongue. Slow your speech. Know what you're saying is true. Are you going to have words and actions that you're going to live to regret? Now let's go to the one that really slows your anger. You can assume that you're angry. No. And listen to what the Bible says. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, the feeling of anger is neither right or wrong. It's what you do with it. Again, like you say, because he's a big guy, he's a nice pick on it. Jerry does something, and I get irritated at that moment. I've got to decide at that moment whether I'm going to stay irritated or deal with it. Now, some years ago, I was watching a movie where a guy got mad and his wife was trying to cheer him up. He said, listen, sir, like, I'm mad right now and I'd like to say that right now. All right? And so we just want to hold around on mad. We just want to stay in anger and I don't want to deal with it. Now, there's too good anger and there's bad anger. Anger is an emotional response to hurt, it's an emotional response to abuse or wrong done. The Bible says you can be angry and not sin. When Jesus cast out the money changers, he was ticked. So if you're really angry, don't deny it, don't defy it, deal with it. The same man that cast out the money changers ended up dying on the cross for those very same people. And even when there isn't a time that I need to maybe go to Dale and say to Dale, Dale, you really made me mad and I'm angry and I want to deal with it. When we get on the other side of it, we're okay. It's when you hang on to it week after week after week, and now it's from the whole thing when Dale or Terry's my enemy because they said something that hurt my feelings when the Bible says something about letting it go. You've got to deal with it with the plumb line of truth, not how you feel. So let's get it. Matthew chapter 5 says this. If I come to this altar, and I kneel down here, and I know that somebody in this room has something against me, that I have hurt somebody, the Bible says I am to leave my gift at this altar, go and be reconciled to that person, and then come back. But he does that. It also says in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 32, listen what it says. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, how much? I don't know what that all means. All bitterness, It says the bitterness I've been holding for my dad for 40 years, but that's okay to hang on to. It says the bitterness that when Robin said that thing to me, and she always says that thing to me, and I'm so tired of her saying that thing to me, and I'm just going to make, look, I'm just going to stay mad. It's not that one, right? And I know that, I'm putting all in front of this, because that's the way it really reads. I mean, but read in degree. Let all bitterness, and all wrath, and all anger, and all clamor, and all slander be put away from you, along with all malice. How complete is that list? It's pretty complete. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness is not excusing the wrong done, and this is really not a message about forgiveness, but you can't deal with anger without dealing with it. What I'm going to say is the killer of every relationship, the killer of every church, the killer of in our government today is the issue of unforgiveness. We're raising a whole culture that are being taught to hate, to not let spirit start to go with something that happened many years ago, that live in hate, and we end up destroying ourselves. We've got to learn to let things go. It doesn't mean what happened back there was right, and it was wrong, and maybe it should be made right. But you living in the hate of what happened is only not going to destroy the government, it's going to destroy you and your family. I can't take credit for it. I'd like to, because it's a pretty profound statement. But here's what he says. He says, I'm not going to preach politics. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell Congress how to put together congressional budgets and do that stuff. But when politics starts mixing over into marriage and woke theology and transgender, they have operated and bypassed the area of truth. And now they've started focusing on the Word of God, and in that we must be true. No one wants to be offensive, but at the same time, when we have raised up a culture that has said, you're being narrow-minded. No, you're not being narrow-minded. The Bible says there is a way of a man that can reach forth to death, and there is only one truth, and there is a narrow way. I can't make that different because you don't like it. So we're living in a culture that's getting angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier because it doesn't know how to say, let this go. Marriage is being destroyed because something was done years ago that you won't let go. It doesn't have a right to be angry. Find that. I'll end it to you. Find that. Find where it says you have a right to be angry. It says you have a responsibility to work through it. You see, then the Bible will kill a lot of good stuff in it. James, I have a right to be angry. Okay, let's say you do. A lot of people can kill because they have a right of that. You're living on a false course with every person in your life because you've decided it's okay for you to keep hanging on to everything that's happened. And now what it's showing in your language, it's showing in your actions. I'm going to know if you're angry because I'm hearing it, I'm seeing it, and you can deny it all you want to. And the person that says, well, James, I'm not angry, I'm just hurt. Hurt becomes anger when you do not deal with it. Anger must have resolution quickly because you can't let the sun go down on it. Don't allow it to be harbored. Don't allow it to be buried deep as you give the devil a foothold. There are people I know that love Jesus with all their hearts. But they somehow think their anger is their strength, and it is not. The fruit of the Spirit is not love, joy, peace, and righteousness, and indignation. So, bad anger, what is it, right? good anger is when I deal with it. Bad anger is when I decide the emotions of anger. I'm going to let what Hebrews 12 says. I'm going to see that it becomes a root of bitterness. I'm going to put aside the grace of God. I'm going to let a root of bitterness go deep, then spring up and defile me. When emotions of anger allow to take root, it always pushes the truth away. But the truth of the matter is, God should be reconciled. The truth of the matter is, every person sitting in this room that is a disciple of Jesus Christ has been given a ministry to reconcile. Not to be that. So you have to decide, are you going to be right, or are you going to be reconciled? Because if you've chosen you're going to be right, you've decided to grieve the Holy Spirit. I've seen so many marriages fail because someone had to be right. Is it worth losing your wife, your spouse, your children because you had to be right? This is an issue of your heart, not an issue of what they've done. It's an issue of what you're going to do. Now, I think you see as plain as I may, but I'll tell you this. Every time I have gone through a bout of depression, it is because somehow I have let something bother me that I won't let go of. I'd like to tell you I was born this way. I'd like to tell you my mama dealt with depression and her mama before her, and so there are times when that ugly old devil jumps on me and I can't do a thing about it. Listen, I've given him everything he needed to do it. Because I won't let go of it. Satan has no power over you as a believer other than what you give him. He doesn't want to be evil children of God. He has raised him up there and has cast out Satan. Let's give him a good time. You don't want to cast out Satan if you decided to get over yourself. He's just going to come back with seven words before. Let me tell you something. You're going to, ladies, you're going to forgive him, and he's going to do it again. You're going to forgive her, and she's going to say it again. You're going to forgive that child, and they're going to break your heart again. But you have to be right. I'm not like that, because the Bible tells us that the idea behind this is bitterness is a poison that poisons my soul, and again it works its way into every relationship I have. Because I'm not mad at the person, I'm mad at the problem. I'm not mad with anybody. I'm just mad with the government. Okay. Are there people involved in the government? Yeah, then you're mad at people. We have this amazing propensity to lie to ourselves. I can't tell you the times, and I know Pastor Terry's experience with other pastors, where I'll be counseling someone and I'll say, you know, I see some anger here. Are you angry? Oh, I'm sorry, I was totally wrong. Forgive me. I thought I detected anger, but your response showed me that that's definitely not true. I don't understand. I've just been hurt. You're the only one. I didn't realize you're the only one in this whole relationship that's ever been hurt. Is anybody in this room that's not been hurt? There are two types of people, those who've been rejected and those who've been rejected more. There's not one person in this room that has gone through life without somebody really, really, really kicking you off. You know the guy that bothers me more than anybody? The guy I look at in the mirror. Sometimes I just hate that guy. There's times I look in the mirror and say, what is he doing? You say it again, you did it again, and you're getting older, you're getting ugly, and I don't know what to do with you. I don't tell the person that I have given myself total freedom to be angry and hate is myself. And that is the worst kind of hatred you can ever have. Somewhere my Savior loves me, and I'm going to have to learn to love who He loves. Someone from that is God. Okay. There's something some of you have experienced that is so bad, and you've asked repeatedly, why did you let this happen? And He doesn't tell me. I think if God set me down and said, James, just for the next few hours, I'm going to walk you through every reason why I let it happen, I think I'd be even more angry. There comes a point when you have to say, I can't stay here. I can't live here. The Bible is very clear on this understanding that the wrath of man will never produce the righteousness of God, ever. Some years ago, as we were going through some political stuff in our nation, I heard somebody say, the church just needs to get angry. Find the word says the church must need to get angry and take to the streets. The Bible says you'll know we are Christians by our love. Do I get angry? Yes. Do I look at some things that happen in the news and say, have we lost our minds? Yes. Because when you don't live in truth, all you have is crazy. If I don't deal with this stuff, I want to get through it, and I'm going to let Luke sit here, so just hang with me. Here are your, what's going to happen if you hang on to this. Two times. There may be more than two, but I'm going to give you two. First of all, there's the ragers. They drink. They attack. They invite conflict. They control. They explode. They take on people to punish and prove. They lash out at life to make somebody pay. We got this thing now where we call certain ladies Karen. If your name is Karen, I know this has to be tough for you. They're not just Karen. There's Josephines and Georgias and Susans. There's Dan's and Saul's and Tom's. If they control every situation from making everybody afraid that the day is the day, they blow up. And so everybody in your family works on pins and needles, and he controls everything with the fear that this is the day that Dad blows up again. And so we live our whole lives as children, as spouses, living the whole life crumpled under because we're afraid of the anger. I've never heard a child say, as he grows up, you know what I really appreciated about my dad was his anger. Now listen to me. Your anger is not your strength. It's destroying every relationship you have. Bitterness leaves people alone with themselves, with someone they don't even like. Quit making excuses for your anger. It's not a good thing. Well, it's righteous indignation. No, it's self-centered rage. Deal with it. I've got the chosen. That's what I am. I save it all up. I have my stuff. I pull inward. I avoid. I withdraw from conflict. I implode. I go to depression and perfection and critical thinking. I have to be critical. And I remove myself from life. And now it's just me and my little pity party because I'm so mad and I'm so mad and I never do it and I never confront the issue and I never go to the problem. And I have gone to the point of total explosion and it's just as deadly as the other. considered when going up to the Father, who never engaged, that they couldn't deal with their anger. Children go up to the mother to live their life inside of with a dread or a fire because they would not deal with their anger. There is no victory in it, there is no strength in it. So if we got to quit thinking that somehow if we could just get angry, the church will never be the church until it goes to the center. It does not produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't redeem and it doesn't reconcile. It rejects. It does not build up or edify or destroy. And if not, develop it and contaminate every relationship you have. Some years ago, I was dealing with a man in counseling. It's been a long year, so nobody in this room. And I remember saying to this man, if you don't deal with your stuff, you're going to be a lonely, bitter old man. And that's exactly what he is like. He lost his children, he lost his wife, and now he lives. But he's totally content because he was right. But one day he'll stand before the Lord, and the Lord will say, you're not right. And he poisons your life and the life of everybody around you because he was too stubborn, too self-righteous to say, I'm right. I'm really not trying to rant. I'm really trying to. But I just got to tell you. This issue of anger and unforgiveness is at the root of every personal breakdown. Every. If it's not the root, it's wrapped around the root. Someone in this church is going to let you down. Someone in this pastoral group is going to fail you. So you have to determine whether this is just some group of people you get with and are responsible, or if this is truly your family in Christ. We have people that this may be the sixth church you've gone to because somewhere you get mad every time. It's kind of like a guy that's been married 5 times and it's always his wife's fault. I know there's somebody going from one church to another. That happens. But if you leave because you got mad and wouldn't reconcile, it'll happen here too. If I don't reconcile a situation, I'll run into the same situation here. Someone will hurt me again here. Someone will bother me again here. And the next thing I know, I'm doing it again. And I'll wear the scars. I dealt with somebody one time and said, well, I've got church hurt. You want to compare scars? After 40 years, do you not think that someone has let me down? Someone has done this? Someone has done this? But there comes a point you put on your big boy britches. You do what the Bible says, and you walk through it, and you forgive, and you move on. Quit making excuses because you don't want to deal with it. And you don't know what they did to me. He found out, and he told you to forgive them. If a man comes against you 7 times in a day and comes to you 7 times and says, forgive me, I repent, you must forgive him his sins. I didn't like that. Where's that from? Luke chapter 11. Or Luke chapter 17, because the disciple says, we'll increase our faith. And I tell you this, the church cannot impact this nation in revival if it is a church that is railing against another side. don't know who you voted for. But if you voted for Donald Trump and he won because he thought he was going to turn this nation around, you're going to be very disappointed. I voted for him. I'm just going to tell you. But he is not my Messiah. Probably one of the most flawed individuals you ever seen. God hurts, gets well with a crooked stick. I know that. We've got to get out of this idea that we're in the idea of saving America through a political system. The only thing that's going to turn America around is when the church starts leading people to Jesus because they've made them so hungry, that's all they want. Brother Barry, I was flipping through the reels. I know none of y'all ever do that. I was flipping through the reels. And as I flipped through about the fourth political reel, and it's on an algorithm, you know that. But once you watch one, you get in five. And as time went on, I kept getting madder and madder and madder and madder. I heard the Holy Spirit say, how's this working for you? And so what I decided to do is put on preacher named Alistair Begg, who, if you haven't heard him, Scottish accent, you'll love him. And he began to talk about the church and how the church becomes church. And I felt the spirit of anger just go away. The next thing I know, because I watched one, there were five more. And as I began to put truth in my mind, my anger went away. You want to deal with anger? Start dealing with the truth. You want to deal with your word and what comes out of your mouth? Deal with the truth. Not how you feel. And I want to call this so the band is going to ask the praise team to come on up. I've got to end this and land this plane. Just stay with me. The biggest problem, and you've heard me say it, you'll hear me say it, but I've got two more messages after this one. The biggest problem we're dealing with in the church today is there is no real understanding of the truth of God. We're desperate for the Spirit, but the Spirit will not work where there is no solidity of truth. This church, if it will walk in truth and begin to speak the truth, Spirit of truth, that truth will begin to fuel a work of the Spirit that people will come and say, this is what I'm looking for. People want to be loved. And if they find it here, they'll come back. They don't want to just know you're loved. They want to see the Spirit of God lived out in love. And when grace and truth come together, that's what Jesus is all about. The law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let's see the real thing. So I'll ask you a question in closing. The praise team will come on. Come on, guys. I know they're here somewhere. There they are. What does God want to say to you and what does he want you to do in your life right now? I believe there's some people, whether you come to this altar or not, some people need to go to somebody and make something right. Some years ago, in my very first church, I was trying to put a sermon together and it wouldn't come, and so my office was in the house there, and so I sat on the sofa to work on a sermon. I came out of the office and sat, and I fell fast asleep. And I had this dream. I asked God, and in the dream, I'm preaching, but no one's listening to me. And I got really upset. So I preached harder and harder, and the harder I preached, the less they listened. I was preaching to the point people were pulling out stuff and looking for cell phones, or they were writing on stuff, they were talking, and I finally started screaming, and I remember there came a point when I said, okay. And somewhere in between, I don't know what happened. You know how someone threatens there. Somebody brought in a cross. And they said that cross that right in the middle. And when Jesus Christ was lifted up. And in that dream, they all came to the cross, and I realized I was keeping them from Jesus. So then that Sunday, I told that dream, and he put a cross there. I'll never forget the reaction. People began to come to the altar, and this is a safe place where they get to come. And this person left this side of the church to come over to a place on this side of the church, and they got something right with themselves. I never spoke a word. But when they got right in themselves and came to the altar, someone over here came and joined them, and then someone over here got over here and got something right with this person, and they came. And next thing I know, it never happened again. It was like a Pentecost. I think we couldn't repeat it. And I remember thinking, Lord, is it that simple? This is great. It's powerful in our week. But some of you need to get to Jesus today. You've held it too long. You've been mad too long. You've hurt too many people. You're destroying your soul. And there's some people today that need to come and say, Lord, I'm ready to let this go. I can't hang on to it anymore. I forgive him. I forgive her. I forgive them. And I'm going to get up here with the power and strength of the Holy Spirit and know that Jesus Christ sets us free. So I'm going to ask you to pray for him to sing. And I'm going to ask you to fill this altar. Let's make some things right. Let's let it go. Come on. Come on, we sing, guys. You guys, come on. Go ahead. Come on. You need to let some things go. You need to let your fears go. You need to let your fears go. Come on. Come on. Some of you need to let some things go today. Some of you need to make some things right today. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.